Well, it's my great joy and privilege to welcome you here to Canterbury Christ Church University. I'm Jeremy Law, the Dean of Chapel. We were founded in 1962 as Canterbury Christ Church College. If you were born between 1946 and 1964, which I was, you can feel a strong sense of pride. Look around you, because without you, Canterbury Christ Church would not exist. It was the baby boomers that that brought us here. I suppose, strictly speaking, that would be the reproductive success of our parents that we should be grateful for, and I am because they employ me. And that leads to the surprising but inevitable conclusion that if we want more education, we need more sex. Surprising but irrefutable, I think. So 1962, thanks to the baby boom generation, we were not a teacher training college. We were a college of education. Big difference there. And because we were founded on our main campus on the grounds of St. Augustine's Abbey, we kind of draw spiritual connection and nourishment from Augustine's mission in 597. So while Cambridge was just misty fens and Oxford was a place where bovines crossed water, Canterbury was a centre of intellectual and international excellence, especially under Theodore from about 670 onwards. Those connections remain really important to us. We are a living church foundation connected to the Church of England. It becomes increasingly difficult because of the kind of audit culture and homogenizing forces in education to keep that distinction, but it's something we try really hard to do, which is why I'm so delighted to welcome you for this occasion, because being here, you're connecting church, education, and mission together for us brilliantly. So that's enough from me, and you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you for your welcome to us all, Jeremy. Welcome, Dr. Ian. Thank you for coming to be with us today. Thank you all for taking the time out of your various busy schedules to be present for this day. Let's just stop for a moment as we recognize the presence of our God in our midst. O Lord, open our lips. Your faithful servants bless you. Blessed are you, sovereign God, ruler and judge of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of this age that is passing away, may the light of your presence, which the saints enjoy, surround our steps as we journey on. May we reflect your glory this day, and so be made ready to see your face in the heavenly city where night shall be no more. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to sing As the Deer Pants for the Water. Shall we stand? Deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You
Our reading from Scripture is from Luke. Jesus heals the man with dropsy. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy, and Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Just to share some reflections with you on this passage. Just take a moment to think about what you have been doing this week. All the activity may be frantic, maybe in a much more laissez-faire way, who knows. Yesterday began with a storm. For others, it began much earlier, the pouring rain, the damage that's been done. And if we have families or friends in those parts of the world, not only is our activity local to where we are geographically, but in our minds, the activity, the thoughts that's going along with thinking about them and what might be happening, how they're coping. And also, I'm sure we are all watching the news. So again, our thoughts are also taken up with what's happening in other places. And that can create a kind of active anxiety that we hold together with the actual things that we are doing. Our reading today, which is taken from the reading set for the Eucharist for today, begins with a meal. Jesus is invited as a part of receiving, I would imagine, hospitality. So in the busyness of our lives, what time do we set aside for hospitality? Either to receive it or to give it. And while we're there, how active do we find our minds about, well, you know, we've got that planned for tomorrow, and I forgot to make that phone call. You know, where are we? Are we present in the moment, or are we still trying to work out the next thing on the agenda? Are we consciously aware of the people who are around us, the people who present themselves? And maybe not just the people who present themselves, but are we aware of those who are in the room, in our congregations, in our local communities, and what might be happening in their lives? So this man is presented or presents himself. We're told he is unwell. He needs healing. Maybe he recognized this for himself. Maybe others recognized it and encouraged him to be there. Maybe there are other people in the room too who needs healing, but does not quite recognize that. And so it's all focused in on this man. And Jesus is being watched. What is he going to do? It is the Sabbath day after all. Is he going to get it right? And if he doesn't get it right, will there be lots of finger pointing? I told you so. I told you what kind of character he is. And no doubt Jesus is probably weighing all this up too. A complex situation. How do we respond in the complexities of life presented to us? Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, takes the initiative and he asks them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" What is that question that is being asked of us in our particular context that we find ourselves? And might we take the initiative in those situations and discover what the right question we need to ask to enable us to then take the right action? Not built around what people might say, not built around what people might do or what people might be thinking, but what is the right thing for us to do, for us to say? We see our political leaders at present, and actually also our church leaders. And when I say church leaders, all of us, I see us getting caught up in playing with what might be the right thing for us to say, what might be the right thing for us to do. You know, what response might that answer get compared to if we do it this way? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful? The emphasis on lawful. As a people, we often get stuck with what does the law says. And sometimes in being stuck on what the law says, we forget the spirit of the law. So is it lawful to say prayers with this person? Because that is an action. Is it lawful? And there might be some say the mere fact that you are doing something like that, the law says no. Is it lawful to say prayers with this person presented before us, irrespective of whether their condition was as a result of sinning or whatever the law might say? Because back then, they assumed that whatever illness you had, you got because you had sinned or because someone in your family has sinned. Jesus' question is directed to the Pharisees. But what might it have felt like for the man standing there, waiting and hoping? What did it do for his mental well-being to have this conversation going on above his head, as it were, as if he wasn't there? Richard, what do you think? What should we do about this situation?
It's not lawful, don't do it.
So we've got to think again. We've got to take stock. Finally, from Jesus' movement, his action, what we see is compassion. Compassion. Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Sometimes we have to do the action that deep in our gut, the Spirit is saying, this is the right action to take. Irrespective of whether you are going to be pilloried by colleagues, by friends, by the church, by the whatever, politicians. But even in doing the right action, there are consequences. So the challenge and the question is, are we prepared for those consequences? And if we think we have made the right decision, can we rest in peace? Can we say, Lord, here I am. I will no longer worry about it. Because worrying and being anxious impacts on our well-being. It impacts on our spiritual well-being, but it also impacts on our physical well-being. It takes its toll on us. And so we need to reflect on whether or not we are allowing God's Spirit to rest within us, whether or not we are bringing before God the things, the people, the situations, and allowing God's Holy Spirit to do its work. So Jesus heals the man in front of him, knowing that others would react in a negative way. Sometimes when we follow what the Spirit is saying to us, we know that we can find the peace that enables our well-being to remain intact. But it is true to say that over time, our involvement in ministry carries a huge cost. How we navigate that individually, corporately, in fellowship with one another, in terms of our time spent in the presence of God, in prayer, in receiving, will all make a difference. Jesus goes for a meal, and yet, in a sense, he is on call. We're always on call. And what does that mean if we're always on call? And what exactly does always on call mean? Might we in that moment also be able to say, Lord, I can't do any more, so I'm just parking this with you for a moment, for a time, for a season. Later on in that same passage, if you read further on, Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. Today, as we reflect together on our well-being as the people of God, both lay and ordained, it is my hope that we will find the space or create the space to genuinely allow God to speak to us afresh, to re-enliven our call to discipleship and to ministry. Is it lawful? Who cares?
lead us in a time of prayer. There will be a response on the screen behind me. I'm going to lead us, first of all, in a simple circling prayer, encircling prayer. Circle us, Lord. Keep hope near and evil afar. Circle us, Lord. Keep light near and darkness afar. Circle us, Lord. Keep peace within. Keep fear out. Amen. And so let us pray. United in the company of all the faithful and looking for the coming of the kingdom, let us offer our prayers to God, the source of all life and holiness. Merciful Lord, strengthen all Christian people by your Holy Spirit, that we may live as a royal priesthood and a holy nation, to the praise of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, hear us. Bless Justin, our Archbishop, and Rose, our Bishop, and all ministers of your Church, that by faithful proclamation of your word, we may be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets into a holy temple in the Lord. Lord, hear us. Empower us by the gift of your holy and life-giving Spirit, that we might be transformed into the likeness of Christ from glory to glory. Lord, hear us. Give to the world and its peoples the peace that comes from above, that they may find Christ's way of freedom and life. We pray today for peace in Palestine and Israel, in Ukraine and other war zones in the world. Lord, hear us. Hold in your embrace all who witness to your love in the service of the poor and needy, all those who minister to the sick and dying, and all who bring light to those in darkness. Lord, hear us. Nourish us and all who minister in your service with your Spirit of healing, well-being, peace, hope, and love. Hear our prayers as we lift before you those people we hold in our hearts and pray for today. Lord, hear us. We give you thanks for the whole company of your saints in glory, with whom in fellowship we join our prayers and praises. By your grace, may we, like them, be made perfect in your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us continue in the words of the Lord's Prayer as you remember them. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So may Christ, who has opened the kingdom of heaven, bring us to reign with him in glory. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.